Money Radio, thanks so much for joining us and joining us now. It's a pleasure to welcome Armand Doucette. He is a teacher, I think first and foremost. He's also an author, a contributing author to a new book, Teaching in the Fourth Industrial Revolution, Standing at the Precipice, Teaching in the Fourth Industrial Revolution by Armand Doucette and a host of co-authors. Mr. Doucette, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
I'm going to give you the honor of mentioning your co-authors, and it is a distinguished list of teachers that were involved in writing this book. You are one of them. Tell us about the others briefly, please.
No problem. So we've got two from the United States, Dr. Nadia Lopez, who teaches in Brownsville, New York, which is a suburb of Brooklyn, I believe, and it's one of the poorest areas in the United States. She's very distinguished worldwide in terms of she's a principal. She opened up her own school, and her motto is build schools, not prisons. She's also very well known within the United States, having garnered multiple awards throughout the last 3 or 4 years. She'll be the keynote at ISTE, which is the largest education technology conference in North America, in Chicago, at the in the end of June. Michael Soskill, the teacher in Pennsylvania, he's doing some great things as well. He is the Pennsylvania Teacher of the Year the last year around, just came back from the White House, actually. He's doing some very interesting things with empathy and worldwide projects. We have Elisa Guerra out of Mexico, and she's a published author 25 times over already. Very well known in Spanish America, has won the Latin America Teacher of the Year, and very well known in that area as well. Kuhn Timmers, who is renowned in terms of large-scale interdisciplinary projects. He's got one going on at the moment with over 80 countries, 350 classrooms, 5,000 kids, with different experts from around the world, including Jane Goodall, Al Gore, and a few other ones that have helped out in terms of with support and with some expertise through one of the large-scale projects, the Climate Project. Now he's doing an innovation project and has all sorts of different experts as well filling in that area. He just presented the book, actually, to the King and Queen of Belgium yesterday, so that was kind of exciting. And then Jelmer Evers out of Holland, who is a world-renowned systems expert in education, also a teacher, works with Education International part-time, does a lot of conferences, and is a published author in his own right with a book called Flip the System, which is about flattening out the hierarchy of leadership in education. So a very distinguished group of co-authors and teachers in their own right, all top 50 Global Teacher Prize nominees. Some of them are top 10. Three of them actually are top 10 Global Teacher Prize nominees and have all been celebrated in their own countries numerous times with many accolades.
And, of course, you are part of that list and a recognized award-winning teacher yourself in Canada, in New Brunswick, correct?
Yes, that's correct. Thank you.
Okay. So we've got some bright people, bright teachers who contributed to this book. Everyone wrote essentially an essay, roughly 20 pages or so from each of these teachers. And I have to say, I looked at this and I thought, okay, I'm not a teacher. I'm not sure if this will apply to me. But I have to say, as I read through it, it really captured my attention. And I read through it at first because it talked about the Fourth Industrial Revolution, which, of course, is a book by Klaus Schwab, where it talks about, and let me very briefly just back up the idea of the Fourth Industrial Revolution in a very shortened format. First revolution, the machine age, the steam engine, for example, railroads. The second, mass production, that would be assembly line, manufacturing, electrification. The third, the digital revolution, computers and the internet. And the fourth industrial revolution is taking that digital revolution a step beyond, if you will, with the Internet of Things, with sensors, with artificial intelligence, nanotechnology, and some ideas like that, the cutting edge stuff that we're hearing about these days. Teaching doesn't fall into that cutting edge stuff that we're hearing about that would go in line with the fourth industrial revolution. How did you make this connection, and what is that connection between teaching and the fourth industrial revolution?
Well, it's a good question. First of all, thank you for the kind words about the book. As you said, we've had a couple of chapters, or some of us had one chapter, or others had two or three. And what we did is we got together in at the Global Teacher Prize sort of summit, where all the top 50s from around the world for the last couple of years get together. And we had a discussion, and we realized that a lot of the narrative in education has been stolen from teachers. And that needed to change. It's one of the professions where, for some reason, the discourse doesn't necessarily let teachers be the professionals that they should. I'll give you an example of what I mean by that. It'd be the equivalent of me watching a YouTube video and finding out that, you know what, I have blocked arteries. Go back to my doctor and say, I want you to operate. I have blocked arteries. These are my symptoms. And the reality of it is that I wouldn't know better. I just watched one video. But I still treated my doctor as if he wasn't the expert in the room, which the reality is he is the expert in the room. And teaching has been sort of stolen from teachers, that narrative, and it's gone. The pendulum has shifted so far to the right, sometimes to the left, and not really realizing what's happening in the classroom. So we've all read The Fourth Industrial Revolution by Klaus Schwab, so the World Economic Forum. We're all very well-versed in what's happening worldwide. We're acquainted with it because of our travels and also the opportunities that we've had in our positions. But we're still tied to the classroom, and we still teach. So when we saw what was happening in terms of the narrative and what Klaus Schwab was saying about what these disruptions could cause and the opportunities, but also the downfalls if we don't seize these opportunities, we decided, you know what, we need to address this from within the classroom and talk about education.
And that's a very important point, I think. It is as if education has been hijacked from various sources. There is a certain move towards privatization, to where education is a feeder for business. And as we move into the fourth industrial revolution, there is a move towards training people to do the technical work, the coding or whatever, almost as if Silicon Valley or other high-tech firms are dictating the curriculum. And it's not that I'm saying that there's anything wrong about learning coding or learning technical skills, but there's a lot more to education than that.
Yeah, and I think that's exactly our point, is the fact that education is not a pipeline to jobs. It's part of what our mandate is to get kids ready for their future, and part of their future is going to be work. But it's also about being able to develop engaged democratic citizenship in this global age, in this globalization that we do have, and that's not going to go away if we're going to answer the problems that we have as a society. It's also about being empathetic. It's about the character skills. And a lot of these used to be the household's job. But because now you have two parents working and a lot less time to be able to do a lot of these things, it's not happening. And before, even the parents or the family that would have been that nucleus for a lot of these skills and a lot of this development, you would have had the church as well as sort of your guideline or ethics for each community. And that's gone away in a lot of areas as well. So the school really is the hub of all the learning of the child. And we need to address that, and it needs to be done in a holistic way. So we're saying to get ready for the digital age and to get ready for these opportunities that are coming up, and that if we don't seize, we're going to see some mass chaos in a lot of areas. We need to teach these kids holistically, which means that there needs to be deeper learning in terms of curriculum content. We do need to develop skills. We do need to develop competencies. We also need to develop social-emotional learning. So it is a holistic approach to it. And we believe that we can do that. We believe that we do that in many ways. And when we talk about the hijacking of the narrative, oftentimes what it is that we'll use statistics to spin stories in any way that we want. And I used to work in sales and marketing, and I know you can do that. But that what doesn't do justice there is the fact that it's a humanistic endeavor teaching. And there is an art part to it, not just a science part to it. And with that, that means that there are some trial and errors. And there will be some qualitative data that needs to come out, not just quantitative. And I think we've forgotten that in the last couple of, I'd say about 20 years, maybe 15. And that's caused a lot of pressures in the system.
One of the chapters that you wrote for this new book, The Teaching in the Fourth Industrial Revolution, dealt with what you described as a learner profile that you've developed called Teach Me. It, really a guide for teachers introducing this holistic approach to learning. What are some of the key components of the Teach Me system?
It's really a mindset and a vision of what you want your classroom to be. So curriculum content, I think as a whole, teachers have got the grasp of how to do that. With now with our schools being fully inclusive, there's many different ways that we can personalize that curriculum content. But part of our job is to get to know the students. And the more you know your students, the better you know your students, the more you can contextualize the actual information. And when you can contextualize that curriculum content, you can now start to look at, okay, will I be doing a teacher-centered approach for this part of the curriculum, or will it be student-centered approach? Through cognitive psychology, we understand that there needs to be some sort of background understanding or background knowledge to be able to approach it in a PBL or project-based learning for it to be able to be done efficiently and not just a surface-type project or a surface-type just skimming the surface. And because of that, there's different ways that you can approach the pedagogy within the classroom once you know the children. So part of the Teach Me model is to get to know the children the first 2-3 weeks. Almost forget the curriculum in some ways and really get to know the children as best you can, almost like as if you went to camp in the summer and where the camp people do a lot of different activities to get to know the children, who has leadership skills, who struggles with leadership, who's all right with collaboration, communication, and get to know the children in a different way so that then you can sort of structure your classroom to be able to teach the children what they need to do to develop competencies even further. So you have sort of an idea of where they are in terms of all these competencies. If you get to know them and their family life and so on, you get to know their social emotional learning state. And all these things help you to be able to motivate and help the child develop because you're then able to press the right buttons. It's a bit like a really successful coach in sports. When they understand who their athletes are and when they understand what makes them go, what doesn't make them go, when do they need to be pushed, when they need to be, you know, pulled back a bit. Those are the types of things that in the digital age, when AI and virtual reality start really creeping in, these are the types of things that teachers need to be really good at to help get our students ready going forward.
I found this to be just a fascinating book. I'm not a teacher. I'm not an administrator. I'm not a policy maker when it comes to education. But I still found it to be a very fascinating book that brings up some intriguing ideas from Armand Doucet and his co-authors. And there are several, and they are all prize-winning teachers. And as I went through it, I found some ideas that rang true from some of the best teachers that I've had in my history. And it was a reminder to me that teaching is indeed a very noble profession, and it's about to get turned on its head. We'll talk about that as we continue with Armand Doucet, one of the co-authors of Teaching in the Fourth Industrial Revolution, Standing at the Precipice. More in just a moment. Thanks so much for joining us today. We're talking with Armand Doucette. He is one of the co-authors of Teaching in the Fourth Industrial Revolution, Standing at the Precipice, Teaching in the Fourth Industrial Revolution. We've seen a lot of this taking place already. Computerized teaching, classrooms on computers, lessons on YouTube videos, for example. Probably the next step is artificial intelligence in the classroom. The whole system's about to get flipped on its head. It sounds as if we're going to have to rebuild the education system pretty much from the ground up. Is that the case? And if so, how do we build it?
I don't know if it's from the ground up. It's an interesting system to try to reform, and reform's sort of a bad word in the U.S. at the moment, but because it's an Airbus or a 747 plane that's flying through the air that you can't land, but you're trying to make some major renovations on it, right? But we do really need to do some changes. And part of what needs to happen is these binary conversations that we're having between constructivism and behaviorism, or between technology in the classroom or no technology in the classroom, or PBL, project-based learning, or lecturing, or formative or summative assessment. All of these conversations that we have that people stand on their soapbox and are yelling at each other. The reality is that education is full of nuances. It always depends on what your students need in the classroom at that time. The best teachers in the world will know when to stand up on a desk and get their children's attention and, you know, captain my captain, a la Robin Williams of Dead Poets Society. And others will know, okay, this is the time when I need to let them collaborate, and there's going to be a bit of friction. And that's good, because they need to be able to brainstorm and figure out how to deal with this situation. And the nuances are extremely important. I see technology as being a great enhancer, an accelerator, if it supports great pedagogy. If it doesn't support great pedagogy, it's a very expensive pen and paper. The second part of that is that we need to watch out in terms of what do we bring in and why, because there's a massive question of ethics as well. What do I mean by that? Well, data mining students' data and selling that for the possibility of being able to market them in the future, I think is quite corrupt. That means that we need to sort of shift the way we use public dollars and the Department of Ed's, and maybe we need to hire our own software engineers to create the platforms that we need to really personalize education in some ways. The socioeconomic part of it, in the United States, you have a system where your land tax ends up paying for the schools. So if you're in a poor area, you don't have a very good school. So what does that mean? Do the have and the have-nots keeps growing apart? And when you have a middle class that's sort of getting ripped apart because of this digital age already in the U.S., does that keep growing the divide, which keeps growing this binary conversation, which is going to rip the foundation of a very good country apart? So those are the types of things that we need to worry about as we're building it. And depending on which lobbying group are getting in there, and depending on who's in charge at the top, we also need to align the mission and vision. So in the United States, to give you an example, standardized testing is very much driving the classrooms in high school. Anybody that says differently hasn't realized the pressures that are on teachers. The rest of the world doesn't necessarily have that same type of pressure. So the mission and vision about trying to develop competencies and skills don't really align with curriculum content memorization for standardized testing. Mm-hmm. So right off the bat, you're going to have struggles. In the private world, where your mission and vision doesn't align with what your people are doing, you're going bankrupt. That's one of the reasons why we wrote the book, is because we believe teachers should be at the table being part of this conversation, and it shouldn't be driven just by politicians, business people, tech people, engineers, and so on. But we need the professionals that are in the classroom that are doing this day in and day out to make sure that we're going in the right direction.
Turned out to be a fascinating book that raises multiple questions. The quality of education moving forward is extremely dependent upon passionate teachers who truly care about it and raise some of the issues that are included in the book, Teaching in the Fourth Industrial Revolution, written by a half dozen different teachers, all Global Teacher Prize winners, including our guest today, Armand Doucette. The book, Teaching in the Fourth Industrial Revolution. Armand, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.